Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
This time, last week, the Burning Man Festival was all over the news as heavy rain had struck the Nevada desert that left roads impassable with thick mud. And the advice to the stranded attendees was to conserve water and other supplies and remain sheltered. Scary stuff. Well, County Leashman and artist Brendan Deasy, along with his four adult children, were just some of the attendees, and he is on the line to tell us what the hell was going on. Brendan, how are you?
I'm all good, thanks, Jen. How are you?
I'm good. Nice to chat to you. So, was this your first time at the festival? Had you done it before, and why did you decide to do it?
Yeah, it was my first time. I was invited to design the passport for Black Rock City. For people who don't know, basically, Burning Man Festival takes place in the middle of the Nevada desert. And a whole city called Black Rock City is just built temporarily for about 2 weeks, mm-hmm. Once a year. So within the city, there is a passport system, excuse me, where you can obtain a passport from the passport camp, and then you can go around the various camps collecting stamps, just like you would collect visas in the real world. And as I say, I was very fortunate to be asked to design the passport this year. So I designed a glow-in-the-dark passport, which turned out to be quite a success. And on the strength of that, I was invited to participate then, work in the passport camp office. And,
I'd say your adult children were absolutely beside themselves, if they're into festivals, that you were invited to go.
Well, yeah, to be honest, Jen, I was actually asked last year and I had to pass up the opportunity because I was in Australia.
Okay.
And when I mentioned it to my eldest, my son, he said, "Dad, that is a life-changing experience. You cannot pass that opportunity up." So I got back in contact with them, and as I say, they were kind enough to ask me again. And then obviously the kids all wanted to go. So I said to them that if I was invited, but I think if I went by myself, the kids would never forgive me.
No.
So thankfully they allowed the kids to come as well.
Isn't that amazing? Oh my God, they must have been so excited. I've heard so much about this festival. It was definitely on my to-do list. It sounds incredible, the setup they have. Is it true you have to be invited and you have to bring something, like you have to offer some kind of a service because there's no money and everybody, like, so I know someone who, you know, you do a kind of a class there, or you're an artist like you or something. Is that the case for everybody who attends the festival?
Yeah, kind of. Just like yourself, I was all a little bit vague about it. It's based on a gifting society. So basically everybody who attends should offer some kind of gift one way or another. So once you've actually purchased your ticket, if you're lucky enough to get a ticket, excuse me, once you're in there, no money exchanges hands.
That's
the
right.
The only thing you're able to buy is ice, obviously because it's in the desert and usually it's very hot and sunshine, although it kind of changed this year. So the idea is that you kind of just go along to a bar and there's free drinks, any kind of drink you can possibly imagine. There's free food, there's massages, there's foot spas. There's just basically anything you can possibly imagine. So your natural instinct, you know, once you go and get a drink or something to eat, you put your hand in your pocket, you think you're going to pay for it or offer something in exchange. But it just doesn't work like that because it's not kind of directly reciprocal. The idea is that you'll be gifting something to somebody else, maybe somewhere else within the city. So our gift was designing the passport, mm-hmm. and then working in the passport office. So your kind of conscience is clear then. You don't feel any kind of guilt going along and getting a foot massage or whatever else is on offer.
Because you've contributed to the city.
Exactly. Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I always see the outfits online. I always see people's experience in the desert, but I never actually see any acts that play there. But, you know, this is a music festival. Pretty big names play at this festival. Am I right?
Strangely enough, it does seem like a whole place of contradictions. You know, normally what would attract me to any festival is the music, first and foremost.
Yeah.
However, on this occasion, for me, the music was
secondary.
You know, quite a minor attraction. Now, obviously, there were some big names there. Carl Cox played a Sunrise set. We got to see Diplo. That was nearly a sunset set. So there are kind of big things, but it's kind of remarkable, Jen, that, as I say, it's a whole city. So you kind of set off on your bicycle in the direction, hoping to go and see a DJ or whatever else. And then just something grabs your attention, or somebody calls you over and you kind of get distracted. And more often than not, you don't actually make it to the acts that you're intending to go and see.
Yeah, I've heard that. I mean, it is definitely an experience, and your son was dead right saying this is a once in a lifetime experience. Little did he know what was about to happen. So, So did you enjoy the festival before the rain?
Yeah, before, during, and after. Really, it was incredible. Yeah, first of all, it's this incredible kind of searing heat in the middle of the Nevada desert, as you can quite imagine, and we're warned that basically you are going into a very hostile environment. You know, basically the desert wants to kill you.
Yeah.
So it's extremely hot. These kind of dust storms whip up, and that kind of reduces all visibility. It's, you know, it can be quite dangerous if you're not prepared. You know, so we were told, you know, you need to bring in adequate water supplies, adequate food supplies, plenty of protective gear, ski goggles to protect your eyes from the dust, serious headgear, mouth coverings, camelbacks, where you know you need to be carrying around at least 2 liters of water on your back constantly. So that was all very much exciting. And obviously, I live in County Leash, excuse me, so really kind of those conditions we're not used to at all. So it was almost like arriving on a different planet. And then, of course, which was well reported, the weather changed quite dramatically. Basically, we were in there early, excuse me, because we're involved in the construction of the camp. We actually went in on the Friday before the gates officially opened on the Monday. So on Monday, people started to come in and saw the whole city kind of emerge out of the desert plain. The first few days, as I said, were extremely hot, soaring heat, couple of dust storms. That was all great because we were well prepared.
Yeah.
Then on Thursday, which coincidentally, there was a small St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Amazing.
Don't ask me why. There was
Amazing.
An Irish camp there. But after that, whether we put the jinx on it or whatever, the weather started to change. It got very dull, and then this incredible dust storm kicked up. And the only thing to do is get shelter when the dust storm kicks up. So we did that. We got back to camp, and then word started to spread that there was going to be heavy rainfall. So, you know, we're all kind of very used to heavy rainfall, so we sort of took it with a pinch of salt. But boy, the rain started to fall, and allegedly 2 to 3 months worth of rainfall fell within 24 hours. So it just changed the whole topography of the place so dramatically. And what I soon realized is, you know, like when we've been to festivals, the electric picnic and so on, you know, the ground kind of eventually kind of soaks up the rain. But here it's an alkaline bed, so you've got this incredibly fine dust. It's like the consistency of flour, if you can imagine. Once you mix that with water, it was just like cement, you know, freshly made cement. So if you tried to kind of walk even, you had, you know, literally about 4 inches of mud caked around your feet. So it was like walking around with cinder blocks attached to your feet. Great for the leg muscles, but you really couldn't go anywhere quickly. So obviously we weren't allowed to move if you had a vehicle, and you know, rumors started to come around that we were going to be locked in there for a whole week. As it happened, it was actually 2 days we were kind of stuck there. But the spirits kept high. The community we were with were just fantastic, extremely resourceful. So it just added to the experience. And in fact, a number of people, like once it was all over, were saying it was the best burn ever because it was so extraordinary and so different from anything.
Stop it. That is so typical, isn't it? I don't know. I mean, it looked pretty grim to me, but I'm sure there was a little bit of panic. You're there with your kids and you're hearing news that you could possibly be stuck there for a week. Did you panic a little bit then? Did you get a little bit worried at that point?
Well, I was slightly concerned about getting home.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was full-blown panic. And as I say, I was speaking to a Norwegian couple the morning after, and it was like, it was a quagmire, really, like mud up to your shins and so on. And they were saying the most important thing is keep your spirits high. And I think that was the general kind of consensus. Everybody's spirits were high and everybody was just kind of smiling with each other. So that kind of diffused any sort of panic. You know, inevitably, there was one guy with us in our camp who was a heart surgeon, and he was due to go into surgery. So he had to get out, you know, had to drop everything. And as it happened, my son needed to get out. So him, those two and another guy kind of left together. They walked. But again, it wasn't too bad. The walk was quite slow, but they managed to get to the gate. And then there was kind of lifts. And outside, they provided buses to take them to the nearest city, Reno, which was 120 miles away, I think.
Were there people there panicking? Because I know you said spirits were high, but, you know, I mean, there was somebody, unfortunately, and very sadly, someone had died. So there must have been an undertone of worry.
Yeah, I think so. As I said, it was people who had to get back for appointments, whether it was work engagement or whether they'd left children or whatever else. So there was concern, but I don't think it was panic. And,
okay.
And you are right. Unfortunately, somebody did die. But all the details were very kind of sketchy, so I'm still not sure what happened.
Mm.
But I don't think it was directly influenced by the weather. You know, so, you know, it's very sad that happens. But as other people were saying, in a makeshift city that's populated by 80,000 revelers, it's to be expected that, there will be one or two sad incidents like that one, unfortunately.
It's nice to hear the other side of it, because all we've seen in the press is these pictures and, you know, and these stories and how grim it was and literally putting people off Burning Man. But you're saying, you know, the majority spirits were high and people enjoyed, you know, that camaraderie and being, you know, in it together kind of thing. Was it very cold at nighttime? What was nighttime like?
Not too bad, actually.
I see you're from Leash. You're hardcore.
Yeah, and all that hard training at the Electric Picnic ever since it began, you know, really, really came in handy, yeah. No, you see, we actually decided in the end to get an RV, so we had this huge 31-foot long recreational vehicle. So we were quite comfortable in there. So, you know, you just had a sheet over you in the bed. It was grand.
Somebody just texted in saying, first Burning Man for me was 1996. All the old school burners, that's what they're called, isn't that deadly? All the old school burners that I know said that this year was the best one in years, said that the environment was true to the real experience. You look at Glastonbury, tents literally floating away and people just having the crack, never mind the weather. And you see this with festivals and people sliding in the mud and, you know, just making the most of it, because you cannot depend on the weather. And Burning Man is a complete experience. Any festival is an experience. What have you taken away from the whole experience? Would you be racing back again to Burning Man?
You know, I'd certainly go back again. About halfway through, you know, I started to think, God, this, you know, maybe I'm getting a bit too old for this now. But certainly by the end of it, and sorry, just to go back to what you were saying previously there, you know, making the most of it.
Yeah.
When the rain was falling really heavily. Now, I imagine if you were there by yourself, it might have been a completely different experience. But I'd say we were in this, you know, wonderful camp, the Passport Camp, with the most ingenious, warm-hearted people I've ever had the privilege to meet. And what else could you do if the rain was falling? You know, we erected more shelters, made everything safe and secure, made sure everybody's okay. And we just kind of parted, and they put on a playlist that every track had something to do with rainfall or else, you know, We Will Survive and all that. And it was just really great, mighty crack all round. So certainly by the end of it, you know, leaving after you've been through that whole experience, it was a really emotional kind of farewell, you know, like tears were shed and everything else, that you'd kind of gone through this just incredible kind of life-enhancing experience.
How nice, so without a doubt, how nice though, Brendan, was it to get into your bed?
Yes, it was very nice because It was quite a long, arduous journey back. So it was wonderful, yeah. But remarkably, like last night, excuse me, was the first night in the bed. And I got up in the middle of the night and I was kind of fumbling around trying to find the bathroom, you know, because I still felt I was in this RV because we'd spent about a month in the RV. So it was kind of an unusual experience, but a confident one, obviously, to get
back. You're still alive. You're back in one piece. Yeah. Amazing. Well, fair play to you, Brendan. Thank you so much for coming on and speaking with us.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.